All right. Ready for a deep dive? We're tackling the V-22 Osprey today.
Yeah, it's a fascinating one.
It really is. And it's more than just, you know, nuts and bolts.
Right. It's not just about the tech itself. It's how this aircraft is literally changing the game of warfare.
And that's what we're digging into today. Our source material, the role of the Osprey, and the pivot to the Pacific lays it all out.
It really digs deep. I mean, who would have thought this aircraft designed for, you know, specific missions would end up pushing this huge shift in military strategy?
It's like the Osprey is the unexpected hero, in a way.
Kind of, yeah. This whole move towards distributed forces, it's all about adapting to a world that is way more complicated in terms of threats.
Exactly. And everyone listening knows about the U.S. military's focus on the Pacific.
Right, and the Osprey is built for it, practically.
Oh, yeah. Huge area of operation. You need speed, range.
Yeah.
The Osprey delivered. I mean, you're talking about an aircraft that can take off and land like a helicopter.
Like a helicopter, but then it turns into a plane. It's wild.
That tiltrotor design has got to be the most recognizable thing about it.
It's definitely eye-catching, but the real advantage is the flexibility, right?
Absolutely.
Ships, rough terrain, even a damaged runway, the Osprey can handle it.
Our sources talked about this situation.
Yeah.
And troops needed to get somewhere fast. And the Osprey got them there so quickly, it actually messed with their perception of time.
Wow, yeah.
They were totally caught off guard.
That's wild. It's like that saying, speed is the ultimate weapon. But it's true.
It really is. And we're not just talking theory here. The 2011 Libyan operation proved it.
Exactly. Connecting support on land with the fleet out at sea, the Osprey was the link.
And it made a difference.
Huge difference. Way faster pace of operations. It was a glimpse of what this aircraft could do for those, you know, maritime operations that are all about being spread out. But we'll get into that more later.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Okay, so we're talking about crossing big distances, but the Osprey is also breaking down walls between different branches of the military, right?
You're telling me it's not every day you see the Marines, the Navy, and the Air Force all using the same aircraft.
Exactly. It's like this great equalizer in a way.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the same page, learning from each other.
Yeah. And that's huge. You know, historically, getting different branches to work together seamlessly, it's been, well, let's just say it's been a challenge.
A challenge.
But the Osprey, it's like this common ground.
It brings people together.
It does. It fosters that collaboration. And what happens? You get new tactics. You get better ways of working together. It's a win-win.
So it's impacting how we fight wars. But then you have the international aspect, too. Japan using the Osprey.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal.
Huge deal. It's the first U.S. ally to actually operate it.
Setting a precedent.
Exactly. Yeah. And you see the ripple effect already. The Osprey's presence in the region is becoming more normalized.
And that leads to?
Joint exercises. Mm. The U.S. and Japan working side by side, getting comfortable with this very unique aircraft. It strengthens those military ties, you know, shows a united front.
Powerful message to send it.
Definitely. But it's not just about the message, right? There's the whole logistical side of things. And I'm sure it's not easy keeping these birds in the air.
Yeah, keeping a fleet of Ospreys operational around the globe, I imagine that takes a lot.
A lot, yeah. Our sources were pretty upfront about the challenges, especially early on.
I was going to say, it couldn't have been all smooth sailing, right?
Not exactly. But that's what we'll get into next. The behind-the-scenes stuff that most people don't even think about.
The hidden complexities.
Exactly. I mean, you need a global support system for a global fleet, right? That means making sure you have parts, maintenance, trained personnel all over the world. It's massive. It's not just about having stuff in the right place, though.
It's about having the right stuff.
Well, yeah, but it's more like you have to think differently now.
How so?
Well, we used to have these giant bases, right? Centralized hubs for all things maintenance and logistics.
Right, the fortresses.
Exactly. But a distributed force. The whole point is to be spread out, agile.
So you can't rely on those big bases anymore.
Exactly. You need a network.
Multiple points, all connected.
Right. And the Osprey. It becomes the connector.
Like the glue that holds it all together.
I like that. The glue, yeah. It can get to all these different places, deliver what's needed.
So are we talking like mobile repair crews now? Jumping from one Osprey to the next?
Kinda, but it's even more interesting than that. Our sources mentioned 3D printing.
Really?
Yeah. They're actually printing parts on demand now.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is, right? It cuts down on those long wait times for parts.
Makes you less reliant on having a huge stockpile everywhere you go.
Exactly. Talk about adapting.
That kind of ties into the whole international collaboration aspect too, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. You can't have this global system without global partnerships.
I mean, imagine trying to source all the materials for that 3D printing on your own.
Or the agreements you'd need in place just to share that tech with allies.
Right. It's bigger than just one country.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that you can't go it alone in this new world. You need allies, and you need to be able to work together seamlessly.
The Osprey's really driving that point home, isn't it?
Big time. It's a very real example of how things are changing.
Okay, so we've talked about the need for a global support network, but let's be real. It wasn't all easy peasy with the Osprey, was it?
You remember those early headlines?
There were some bumps in the road.
A few bumps, yeah. Developing something this complex, well, it comes with its own set of challenges.
What were some of the big ones, aside from, you know, figuring out how to get a plane to turn into a helicopter and back again?
Right. Besides that, production issues early on slowed things down.
Makes sense. It's a complicated piece of machinery.
It is. And then there's the maintenance side of things.
Specialized training, I bet.
Oh, yeah. You're not just going to have your average mechanic working on this thing.
And those early models. I'm guessing they needed some tweaks.
Let's just say they learned a lot in those first few years.
Yeah. Even the most innovative stuff has to start somewhere.
Absolutely. And you know what? It makes the Osprey successes even more impressive when you think about it.
You got to fall down a few times to learn how to walk, right?
That's the spirit. And with the Osprey, one of the biggest hurdles was corrosion.
Corrosion.
Yeah. You're talking about an aircraft that spends a lot of time near salt water, yeah, in sandy environments.
It's got to take a toll.
That salt air. Brutal on metal. And then you've got sand getting into everything.
You're dealing with the worst of both worlds, really.
Exactly. But they adapted, developed new coatings, got really strict about maintenance, even using some pretty high-tech inspection tools to catch corrosion early on.
It's a constant evolution.
Always pushing the limits of what's possible.
It's a testament to how this aircraft is pushing boundaries.
Pushing boundaries in so many ways, yeah. And it's not done yet.
You're talking about the future of the Osprey. Because our sources hinted at some pretty wild possibilities.
Wild is a good word for it, especially when you start thinking about, you know, emerging tech.
That's what I love to hear. What's next? What's coming down the pipeline?
Well, for starters, think about unmanned systems.
Drones.
Yeah, exactly. But we're not just talking about a few drones here and there.
Well, like swarms of them.
Exactly. The Osprey could be like the mothership.
Deploying them, controlling them, coordinating whole missions.
And not just simple stuff either. Reconnaissance, surveillance, even electronic warfare, all directed from a single Osprey.
It's like an aircraft carrier for drones.
That's a good way to put it. And that's where things get really interesting, right? This idea of manned, unmanned teaming. It's huge for the future of warfare.
It's like having a force multiplier.
It is. And the Osprey, it's a natural fit for that kind of operation.
Our sources even mentioned something about, like, directed energy weapons, which almost sounds too futuristic.
I know, right? But it's closer than you might think.
Really? Like lasers on the Osprey?
Lasers, high-powered microwaves, the tech is advancing rapidly. Imagine an Osprey that can neutralize incoming missiles, disable enemy sensors, all with a beam of energy.
That's straight out of a movie.
I know, but it's the kind of capability that could be a game changer.
And with the Osprey's speed and agility, it'd be hard to counter.
Exactly. But it's not just about dominating the skies. The Osprey could revolutionize naval operations, too.
You're talking about this whole distributed maritime thing.
That's the one. The Navy's moving away from those big lumbering carrier groups, shifting toward a more spread out, networked approach.
Smaller ships, more of them, all working together.
But the Osprey is the perfect platform to link it all together. Delivering supplies, transporting troops, providing reconnaissance. It can do it all.
It's like the glue holding this whole new way of operating together.
Exactly. It allows for a level of flexibility and responsiveness that we've never seen before. And remember how we talked about joint force integration earlier?
Yeah, the Marines, Navy, Air Force, all working together.
The Osprey is only going to make that even more important in the future.
Because everyone wants a piece of this tech.
Well, yeah, but it goes deeper than that. When multiple branches are operating the same aircraft, learning from each other, developing new tactics together, it changes the whole dynamic.
It's not just about the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the way people are thinking, the way they're approaching problems.
And that's where the real revolution happens. And the Osprey is right at the center of it.
It's amazing how one aircraft can have such a ripple effect.
Isn't it? And the thing is, this is just the beginning. Japan was the first U.S. ally to adopt the Osprey. But they won't be the last.
Other countries are taking notice.
They see the potential both militarily and strategically.
Because it's more than just an aircraft at this point, isn't it?
It's a symbol of partnership. of innovation, of a commitment to facing the challenges of a rapidly changing world.
So as we wrap things up here, it's clear that the V-22 Osprey story is about a lot more than just nuts and bolts.
Way more.
It's about adapting, innovating, and really rethinking the whole game of warfare.
And it makes you wonder, what's next?
What is next? That's the question, isn't it? What other game changers are out there waiting to be discovered? Because the Osprey has shown us that the future of warfare, it's going to be full of surprises. That's it for our deep dive into the world of V-22 Osprey. Hopefully this has given everyone a lot to think about. We always encourage you to check out the source material yourselves, do a little digging, come to your own conclusions. Until next time, keep asking questions and never stop exploring.